Now, my first job here was crew for a fast food company. I make like $7 something. It was nothing, right? I got paid the first pay I ever got in my entire whole life. I went to the bank, took out, I think, $300 of it. Dude, I felt like I was the richest guy in the whole wide world. Because that was the biggest amount of money that I ever held in my hand.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode number 64 of the Immigrants Life podcast, where we share stories of people who left the country to chase a better life. And through these stories, you can find ideas, resources, and motivation to do the same. I'm Daniel DiBiase, and in this episode, I'll share with you a story that will recalibrate your perspective. What do I mean by that? As you may know, I'm originally from Italy. I left my country about 9 years ago. I restarted my life twice in two different countries, and the reason behind it was to create a better life for myself. I'm sure many of you listening right now are in a similar situation. Your life is probably okay, but you want something extra. You may want a better career, more opportunities, or to explore the world and experience different cultures. For my guest this week, though, moving abroad was to be able to have a meal on the table, live in a house, and reunite with his mom. Aaron was born in the Philippines, where being poor was kind of the norm. He remembers the day when there would be nothing to eat at the night, and his grandma would tell him to have a glass of water and go to sleep. When he was 8 years old, his mom left them to move to Hong Kong to get a job and earn enough money to take care of the family. Aaron would see her every 2 years. I'm not a parent, and I can only imagine how hard it would be for a mother to be away from her children and see them for a month every couple of years. Unfortunately, this is a common reality for Filipino families. I met many Filipino parents over the past 9 years. Their life abroad is far from what you see on Instagram with the hashtag LifeAbroad or Expat Lifestyle. They work very hard and try to save as much money as possible to provide for their family back home. That's precisely what Aaron's mom did. She worked multiple jobs, had side hustles, and did whatever it took to give her family a future. In fact, she managed to move to Canada, where the immigration process is more friendly, and found a way to move the whole family over. Aaron's story shows that even if you come from zero, or in his case, below zero, you can still move to your dream country and build the life you want. Hey, Aaron, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Daniel, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Aaron, last time we spoke, you told me a little bit about your story, your life back in the Philippines, which is, I mean, quite different from the life that you live right now in Canada. Mm-hmm. Because you said that you grew up in a, in a very poor family.
Yeah.
Did you know that you were poor, or that was just for you, was just the norm?
Oh, we know we're poor. When there are times that you don't have food to eat and you just have to go to bed, you know you're poor.
But was the same thing for other people, for your friends, or what, your family was different? That's what I'm saying. Like, was that the norm because everybody was in the same situation, or you felt like you were different?
Yeah, I mean, I live in a slum. You know, everyone's poor. You know, there are some people that their life are better, you can tell. You know, some of my friends are way better than my social economic situation. But pretty much everyone's poor, man.
And how would you describe your child in the Philippines?
Of course, the poverty sucks. It made it very hard and difficult. A lot of stress. However, that comes with freedom too. Because you could just go to the fields, do whatever you want to do, you know, make up random games. Sometimes we go to the cemetery. In the Philippines, it's not like here that they bury people in the ground. We call it nicho. So like people will build like a triangle thing. Then they put the coffin inside. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. And some people, they like stack them, like they call it apartments. Because of course you have to pay for the ground. Mm-hmm. So it becomes like, for us kids, they're like buildings. So sometimes we jump over each other, you know what I mean? Like, it's insane. It's like we invented parkour before parkour.
I think I was doing a similar thing, but with construction sites. We used to go inside of like a housing construction and go underneath. And I mean, when people were not working after hour over the weekend, we'd just go in there and play hide and seek, or we felt like it was a cool thing to do. Just go in a construction site and explore the house when they were building it up. It was probably looking back was not the safest thing to do, but for us it was just the best.
You're a kid, you know, you can't think. But because I live in the small town, like really small town. Well, before it was a small town, now it's like close to a city. There's not much really to do. There's no like big house constructions. And if there are, we probably steal something from it, you know. No one really like leaves stuff because people will steal stuff. Like, because, you know, again, I told you, like poor place, you know. But yeah, other than that, it was a fun childhood. I mean, other than the poverty, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was asking you that question. It was like, if you're like aware that you were poor, or was that just the way people live? And if you can't eat, as you say, you mentioned this last time, that you were going to bed hungry. And it was like, was your grandma or your grandpa, they would say, like, just drink a glass of water and go to bed.
Yeah, like, so sometimes at night, you know, kids, you still get hungry, right? Sometimes I'll go to my dad or my grandma. I'll be like, yo, grandma, I'm still hungry. And she'll be like, drink a glass of water and go to bed, they'll pass.
Did it work?
Of course. You know, even now, it's like fasting. You know, now it's a cool thing to do. That's our lives. Fasting was our lives, you know, but it is what it is, you know, what are you going to do? Like kind of the old situation. But, you know, it's funny thing is like, I always knew good things will happen. Now it's people are like manifestation. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about manifestation when I was young, you know, but I had like a feeling that someday this poverty will end. I don't know how, but this will end.
Was this kind of coming from like your family, this kind of positive attitude, or maybe it was part of the religion or something? That do you know where like what this like positivity mindset was coming from?
To be honest, I never even thought of that. But
was just you or somebody else in the family were thinking like, oh, this is gonna be good?
It was just me, because I remember talking to my sister about it. There were times that I questioned when I was young. I was like, I ask myself, like, is this going to end? This poverty is going to end? Sometimes, you know, when hard times are happening. But most of the time when I'm like happy and, you know, enjoying my life, I'm like, someday this will going to end. This poverty is going to end. And I don't know how it's going to end, but this will end. I just like positivity. Religion, maybe a little bit of religion because I was raised Christian. As my grandma said, Catholico Sarado. It means like, you're a Catholic, no matter what, you know. You know how Catholics are like, you know, redemption, right?
Yeah, I'm one of them. On paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so I have that like positivity, I guess a little bit of that, but it's just me. It was just like, this is going to end. Sooner or later, this is going to end. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's going to end.
I mean, it works out at the end.
Again, manifestation, I don't know, you know, it just happened.
Is manifestation something that you do regularly, or that was just for that specific moment?
No, I actually against manifestation a little bit. I'm like, manifestation, like, yeah, you can't just think and then something happens, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in elementary, there was this teacher. I was like half on this guy because he was like manifestation. He was actually the first one who mentioned about manifestation. But he is like a Jesus guy. I think he's a Baptist or something.
Sorry, was this in Philippines or in Canada?
Yeah, this is in the Philippines.
Okay.
And he kept on telling like, oh, if something bad happened or you want something to happen, you just have to think positive, think positive. And like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever, you know? And then I remember one day I was coming home. I went to a video game shop. So in the Philippines, there's no arcades, or at least where I was from. People will have like random people will have like video games, like Nintendo 64, maybe like five of them. And then they'll invite kids to come in to play the video game, but you have to pay, right? So one afternoon I went there and I was coming home and I didn't have money. I was like, man, sometimes I go to the video game place just to watch because I don't have money anyway. And so that day I was walking and I was like, man, I wish I had money. You know what? I'm going to find money, you know? Dude, I found 20 pesos in the ground. I was like, what is this?
In context, what can you buy with 20 pesos?
It's like $100 million.
No, but the equivalent, what would you buy like with like 20 pesos? Can you buy grocery or can you buy, I don't know, candies?
Yeah, candies, you know. But again, like I said, if you're poor, 20 pesos is $1 million. I'm telling you right now. So I found this thing. And then another time I went out and there was a rule in the house that when it's 6 p.m. hits, and we used to live close by the town's church, and every 6 p.m. they ring the bell to say like, hey, 6 p.m. it's mass is starting, go home or whatever. So that was the rule. That came from the Spanish. Like at 6 p.m. you have to be inside the house. That's the rule. You don't break that rule. You do not break that rule. And I remember I was still young. I was coming. I knew I'm not going to make it. I knew I was going to be late. And I said to myself, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. You know, I'm not going to get hit. I'm not going to get hit. I came home. I walk in and my grandma was look at me. And I look at her and like, you know, I said hi, whatever. And she didn't hit me. And I promise you, dude, you don't break that rule. I'll give you an example why you don't break that rule. My brother was late and I could see him running, going inside the house. Dude, the bell rang. He puts his foot inside the house. Literally his foot, one leg inside the house. He got smacked. My grandma was standing by the door. Bam!
So why? Because it's not safe or because to teach kids to be punctual or like be home by 6 o'clock?
Just tradition. It came from the Spanish. You know, for the people that doesn't know, Philippines was colonized by the Spanish for 303 years. So it seeped through to our culture. So yeah, that was like the main rule of the house. That's the one thing you don't break because it's automatic, bro.
That's funny. And I want to go back to like your family and your story back then, because you told me that your mom had to leave when you were like 8 years old to move mm-hmm. to Hong Kong to find a job and work abroad so that she could provide for the family. I don't know if it's just like my Western culture, but usually it's the husband and the dad that usually provides for the family. Usually the mom stays home and take care of the kids, take care of the house. Mm-hmm. Why was your mom leaving and not your dad?
Here's the thing about the Philippines, which I love and kind of not love, is we're very matriarchal society. The woman runs the house. Mm-hmm. So the man will be, quote unquote, the boss, but the woman runs the house more often than not. And sometimes the woman really runs everything. So she has the last say. However, going back to the question is, my mom left, and why her is because back then, the jobs that was being offered to people called OFW, which is overseas Filipino workers, are nannies or cleaning ladies, maids. Those are the easiest jobs to get. Those are what available to move, to migrate. I'm not sure actually if my dad tried, but it never worked out. He never left. But so my mom decided like, yo, we got to do something about this. I'm moving. I'm the one who's going to migrate because or else we're going to be poor forever. I mean, that's one thing I don't know, you didn't mention about my podcast, but with my podcast, it's my ode to my mom because I talk about her all the time, like how her sacrifices and everything. And yeah, that's the reason to answer your question is because back then, women are getting offered the job. That's why. And even now, actually, there was like, it's not an epidemic, but it's a normal thing that women from the Philippines go to Italy to work. Mm-hmm. And as you know, like the currency change from the Philippines and the European is like one is equal to, I think, 50 pesos. So these women that works in Italy make so much money and saves them up and then sends it back to the Philippines. In the Philippines, these people has mansions. And I'm not exaggerating, mansions. Mm-hmm. But they don't live there. They're working in Italy. So it's just it became a normal thing. So in the Philippines, there's a lot of men that takes care of the kids. Takes care, quote unquote, takes care of the kids. And the woman will be an immigrant or migrant.
I mentioned to you last time when we spoke that I had quite a few co-workers in New Zealand that were working with me. They were from the Philippines. Mm. And they were in kind of your mom's situation. So they left their family back home, back in the Philippines. And they were like providing for the whole family. I remember like this guy was saving a bar of chocolates and was just sending a box of chocolate back to the Philippines for their kids. And they were like loving it.
I remember like talking about a picture or show me like all like a stack of chocolate. It's not like this big box and we'll send it back home. That's why I was saying, like, it's, as I said, maybe it might be the Western culture. Philippines wasn't not much of a difference. Like the man usually provides for the family and all that stuff. And also because I saw people in New Zealand doing the same thing. It was like usually the man, the husband, that will leave abroad. Even because I'm not a parent, you are, right? I think it would be hard for a mother leaving their kids than for a dad, right?
Yeah, it's extremely hard. But when you see your kids starving, you make a decision.
No, fair enough.
I'm not exaggerating, by the way, when I say starving. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's starving, you know?
Yeah, I mean, your mom, like you say, was great. I mean, I have to give it so much credit because not just she moved abroad and was able to see you guys like every 2 years. You mentioned that was she was coming back for a month every 2 years. Like even just living a life like that, not being able to see your kids growing. I mean, it's hard for me not to see my nephew and my niece growing. I see them every year, every couple of years. Like how can it be for a parent not being there? So a lot of credit to your mom for that. And also the fact that wasn't just providing for you guys, then she managed to move the whole family to Canada. And as you mentioned,
like when you
absolutely, because as you mentioned, like people that work abroad, the currency exchange with the money they make, they can create a wealth or provide it for the family back in the Philippines. But when you don't convert the money, so she has to pay in Canadian dollar to allow you to move to Canada. And that makes a huge difference. So I can't believe how your mom like pulled it off.
This woman is a hustler. I'm telling you, she used to like work like three jobs. She never like Mondays to Fridays, 7 days a week. This woman worked. She rarely takes days off, and then she has hustles, side hustles. Sometimes she like sells T-shirts or whatever she has to get on to, just to send money back home. And eventually, obviously, bring us to Canada.
She still work like that? Or now that you guys are okay, still she took it easy?
Immigrant, bro. They don't stop. They don't know what retirement means. They say the word retirement, but that doesn't mean anything to them.
Fair enough. Does that give you some kind of guiltiness? Or, I don't know, like feel like you have to perform that well? Or not really?
Not really. She's amazing. My mom and my dad, in a way, they were just like, do your best. Follow your dreams. We're going to support you. That's it. You know?
But because that's what I usually hear from people, that children of immigrants, they usually there's like this high expectation to perform well because you know what they have to go through to be able to create a new life abroad. It's hard. So you kind of put that pressure and expectation to your children, and you can feel that there's like multiple experience out there. They're like talking about their immigrants' parents like being very strict. They especially on educational level, they put a lot of pressure on the children to have good education, become doctors, all of that kind of that thing. There's so many examples even in the movies about parents immigrants. So wasn't the case for you then?
No, my mom has always been like, do your best. That's it. As long as you're happy, that's all we care about. You know, in a way, it's good and bad. You know, I would have been a doctor. No, I'm lying. I won't be a doctor. But you know what I mean? Like, there was no pressure at all. It's just like, do your best. You know, don't fail and be happy. Do whatever you want to do. Be happy. And so, but going back to your question, if I felt guilt, maybe a little bit. But again, because of their approach, not really. And I'm very close with my family. I mean, like, we're very close.
I'm kind of curious now, because you moved from the Philippines, like you were living in a small town in the Philippines, growing up poor, and then moving to Canada. How was your experience when you landed to Canada?
Here's the thing with the Philippines is we're very westernized. Because after the Spanish, World War II, it was the Japanese. After that, American. From that, it's just American, right? So we're very westernized. So we kind of know what to expect, what houses looks like, people, all this stuff. The main feeling that I felt when I came here was it felt like this insane pressure and stress of poverty and all those violence around, living around violence, it just whoop, gone. It was like, oh, I can breathe here, man. I'll be okay here. I'll be fine. The trauma is still there of like living in a violent country, but that was my main feeling. It was, wow, I'm going to be okay. You know, because again, if you came from poverty and you suddenly you can, you know, afford things, you'll be like, yo, I'm balling, man. Like, I remember that my first job here was I was a crew for a fast food company, right? I make like $7 something. It was nothing, right? Then I got paid, the first pay I ever got in my entire whole life. I went to the bank, took out, I think, $300 of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, dude, I thought I was Lil Wayne, like making it rain, balling, you know. I'm not joking. I felt like I was the richest guy in the whole wide world. Because that was the biggest amount of money that I ever held in my hand. $300, you know. And yeah, I was so proud of myself too, because $300. Also, I think this is not being spoken enough with immigrant podcasts that immigrants, when they come to a different country, they have issues with the currency change of the money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, like me, from the Philippines, I came to Canada, the exchange rate was $1 is equals to, I think, 40 pesos now.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you want to buy, I don't know, a bottle of water will be $5. So your brain as an immigrant will be like, okay, $5 is equals to this. Holy, for a bottle of water is like, I don't know, I'm not good with math, like 2,500 pesos? That's insane. It's just water. So it makes you more frugal. You don't mm-hmm. want to spend more because of that. And it goes reverse too, because if you ask your friend, oh, how much is a t-shirt in the Philippines? They'll be like, oh, it's, I don't know, 5,000 pesos. And you'll be like, what? It's so cheap. I could buy 10 right now. But not really. Because it's, you know what I mean? So that's one thing, like the main thing that I feel like it's not been spoken enough is it's part of the culture shock that no one talks about is the exchange rate.
Especially, I mean, probably it's mostly for people in your situation that come from a poor country. Can I say poor country?
It is a poor country.
Like no, I don't know if it's like a politically correct. I don't know exactly where the line is. Like,
between. They say it's a developing country. Bro, let's get it to the point. Poor country.
Okay. Like coming from a poor country into like a westernized or like a different country like Canada, yeah, you can see the difference. You can see the difference, like how more expensive everything is.
Hmm.
For people in my circumstances that I grew up in Italy, that moved abroad, but was the exchange that you mentioned was not that different. It's just instead of a dollar is a euros. Actually, instead of a euro is $1.60 or something like that. But that's pretty much it. It doesn't make much of a difference. But it will be reversed for people. Maybe they are listening or watching, going to, I don't know, Thailand, for example. That for me was going to Thailand for the first time. I felt like I was the freaking richest person on earth.
You're
like
a king.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything is cheap and you feel like you're a wealthy person. Or like going to the restaurant, you don't even check the prices of the thing. First of all, I don't even know. I'm lazy. I don't want to do the conversion. And also like you don't have to worry about how much things cost because you can afford anything. So yeah. It's the opposite.
Also, let's not fool around. You're white. That always is a good currency.
True. No, yeah, true. Okay.
But yes, sticking with currency, yes, it goes reverse too. And yes, I agree with you. If you're from a developed country, like a G20 country, and then going to another G20 country, like it's not really a problem. But I'm more talking about like people like that comes from a poor country going to a well-developed country.
Mm-hmm.
You come home, you're a king. I mean, you're a king.
No, absolutely. And when you guys moved to Canada, were you still poor? Or at that point, you were financially okay?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I was working in a fast food restaurant, right? If you're a Canadian and they saw us, they'll be saying we're poor because we live in an apartment, right? people will say, oh, they're poor. But for us, bro, what are you talking about? A roof over our head? The floor is cement. We're good, dude. We're safe. There's running water. Oh, by the way, there's hot water too. You know what I mean? Like, we were good. Of course, we still have to work. As soon as we got to Canada, life was like, we couldn't complain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like what I meant. I'm not comparing you to other people because that's not a fair comparison. Especially because I can talk to, yes, you mentioned I'm white, so I have a different privilege. I don't really know my privilege because I don't know how to compare to. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like a currency. I go to another country, I see the difference. I've never been a different color. So unfortunately, I don't have the experience. But even though when I moved from Italy to New Zealand, the things you have to do, and even though financially I was doing okay, I was able to pay the bills. I didn't go to bed hungry. Mm-hmm. But still, the jobs I was doing for people maybe born in the same country, they look down to you because of the things they will never do. But you do because you're an immigrant and you have to pay the bills. That's what I'm saying. Like, for your perspective, not for other people's perspective, for you at that point, you guys were financially okay. You were able to pay the rent, live in a house, and I guess not going to bed hungry. That's what I meant by, let's say, like financially okay.
Like I said earlier, like, and I wasn't comparing myself to others. I'm just saying, if you look for statistics, that's what I'm talking about. You know, if you see, we're like, you know, lower income family in Canada. But for us, we're the king of the world, man. Like I said, there's a roof, there's walls, there's hot water. We're not missing, you know, dinner, or we could buy whatever we want to buy in a certain amount, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was growing up, I get one pair of shoes each year, one pair of shoes. And that's only on Christmas, if my family can afford it. And it's like, you see like a grocery store, not grocery, but Walmart, like shoes, like they're not the best. Bro, that's like Michael Jordan's Air Jordan shoes for us. Mm-hmm. Like lower level than that. That's what I'm saying. Like once we got here, we didn't feel poor. We look back and we're like, okay, that's our life. We're here now and we can afford pretty much, you know, things that we could afford. We're not poor anymore. However, if you talk to people that live here in Canada, they're like, well, not really. You're not really, you know, you're still poor because you live in this, you live in, you know what I mean? Like statistically.
Yeah. Oh, I totally get it. And also I'd like to know your experience because you moved to Canada when you were in your 20s with your family. So your mom was already living in Canada and she found a way to sponsor you guys or find immigration journey for you guys to all move to Canada. So you, your siblings and your dad, right? Mm. So how was your experience moving to Canada with the whole family? Was like you're going on a long vacation or something?
I remember the night that we're leaving, my family was like, yo, you're the one who's going to talk to all the customs. I'm like, why me? Like, because you're the one who speaks English. I'm like, I do, but it's different when you're actually having a conversation with someone that speaks fluent English, which I did. But the journey was sad, dude. Because, you know, you're leaving family, you're leaving your girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever we had was like, the whole time we were crying. I was crying. But the thing was, I was pushing my feelings down because I don't want to show to my dad and my brother that I'm crying. But I knew they were crying too. But the traveling was fine. I hate flying. Even today, I hate flying. So that was an issue too. I hate flying. Bro, I hate it. Once it's up in the air and it's like relaxed, I'm good. But when it starts shaking or like the lift off and bro.
That's the best part.
No, it's not. That's the worst part. And then we got here. We were received by my mom, which is like, dude, it was like, maybe it's not fair to say, but it was like when the Jews was freed and finally like, whoa, we're good. Not in like when the Moses helped the Jews to be free, like out of poverty, you know, it was like, wow, we're good, dude. We are good. We're okay. Yeah, so it was the flight was good. When then we arrived here, it was October, so it was a bit cold. But again, the feeling of like we had this feeling that you can't complain because you made it, dude. You made it. For some people, you know, people are like, I want to immigrate because I travel. I want to see different things. We need to travel. We need to immigrate because we're going to die of starvation if we don't do it. You know, it's a different situation.
And also, I think it's worth mentioning that from like the age 8 when your mom left until 20 when you moved to Canada, you were seeing your mom every 2 years. So now you were able to even spend time with your mom and be back to be a family together.
Yeah, yeah. I thank you for mentioning that because I love mentioning that because it just shows how badass my mom is. That she'll leave for 2 years, comes back to visit us for a month, and that lasted from I was 8 to 20 when I finally arrived in Canada. And it was hard, but we had a goal. We knew we had a goal. This is what we have to do to, you know, get away from this poverty.
Yes, a lot of credit to your mom. We already mentioned this. But even from your dad and even you guys, like, no, because he told me last time when your mom left, there was not like hard feeling that, oh, mom left us and all that. There was none of that from your part. Was that because you mentioned even this last time, like this is kind of like a cultural thing in the Philippines. A lot of like your friends at school, their parent, one of their parents would have done the same. Mm. This feeling of your mom is providing for you and didn't leave you, was part of the culture, or was that your dad would have just put that in your head?
No, it's part of the culture. Like, like ever since I had like, I could remember things like, oh, this person's mom is, you know, living there. This dad, this person's dad is, you know, working there. I've known people since we were young. Their family, their mom or their dad will be, I don't know, in Saudi or whatever else. Till we got old, until I left Philippines, that person's still in whatever country they are migrated to. It is just how it is. You know, it's just part of life, unfortunately. You know, they're actually talking about it now because there's going to be an election for the Philippines and how, quote-unquote, important OFW people for the Philippines because they are 9% of the GDP of the Philippines came from the remittances of this OFW. That's how big it is. However, the social impact is the problem too, because families are being broken up, right? Because mom and dad has to leave to help the family.
Yeah, but it brings a lot of money inside of the country, as you said.
Yeah, it does. But then the social impact. Like I grew up without my mom.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, especially back then, there was no internet, you know. It was a phone. And we didn't have a phone. It was the neighbor's phone.
It was expensive to call abroad.
It was expensive. It was expensive to call from, wherever you're from. But we talked to my mom like once a month on the phone. And again, like I told you, it's my neighbor's phone. They are the only people that have a phone for some reason in our neighborhood. So we'll use their phone whenever my mom calls.
Yeah, that's crazy to even think about it. Like, honestly, like...
Yeah. There was like a few years I don't see my mom. We'll just write letters. Like literally letters. Send letter to her. Once a month or maybe sometimes twice, she'll call and we'll just talk. And dude, it sucks. FaceTime, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's what probably I love about stories like yours, that put everything in perspective for people that they are listening and thinking, oh, I want to move abroad, but I don't know if it's like, see what other people have been through. Moving abroad right now, it's so much easier than it has ever been. Like now you can FaceTime, like we are having a conversation from like outside of like between like the two sides of the countries. Like we are in the same room almost. You can have that experience.
Yeah.
But dude, you couldn't that in the past. So if you are like in the point where like, I don't know if I want to move abroad, like, please do, because it's never been so easy. Still challenging thing to do, but still like can't be any easier than this.
Yeah. FaceTime it changed the game. It changed the game. I have friends and family members that are immigrants or migrants that, you know, their family or their kids are back home. And I'm like, yo, you guys got it good. I'm not saying it's 100% perfect, but man, that FaceTime is so it's such a big deal. You know, like, we just have letters and phone. I don't, of course, resent them. That's, it is what it is. But I'm just telling them, like, you guys got it good. It, like you said, it's moving abroad is easier because of that.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you an example. When I left Italy, for the first time when I left Italy, my niece was 1 month old. So she was just born. And the second time I came back, I think, was after a year and a half. We always saw each other like every single Sunday. We're like, I will call my brother over FaceTime. I see my nephew and my niece. My nephew was a little bit older at the time. Mm. But my niece, she always saw me a part of the first month and then was there. But she always saw me through an iPad, through like FaceTime. And the beauty of the first time I went back to Italy, I was worried that she might not recognize me. But as soon as she saw me, she smiled at me and she started running and running like a jump to my arms. And that's the powerful of technology that you can do, that you can create. They have still have a relationship. She never met me in person. She always saw me through a screen. And still she was able to recognize me. And like knowing that I was her uncle was amazing.
Yeah. I'm happy for you that you have that connection with her, because it's precious.
Absolutely. And that put even your life, your experience even in such a different perspective, because I don't know, like, as I said, I was the uncle. And it's different, the relationship between an uncle and a niece and a nephew is different from a parent and a son. It's,
Yeah, I mean, that's credit to my family too, with the support that we have and my grandma and my aunts that like made sure that we respect our mom and we know the goal and we understand why she's there. And my relationship with my mom was always been strong. Even though we didn't have FaceTime, we only have phone calls once in a while, we have letters once in a while. We were super, relationship was strong. When she comes home, man, we're like, you know, heaven, right? Mm-hmm. When she leaves, that kind of sucks always. But yeah, we it was never a problem. Our relationship, it was always strong. We never had like the moment of like, oh, why are you in Hong Kong? Why don't you just stay here and everything? Because we know she cannot stay.
And that's the other thing, because culturally, I don't know if you heard the same thing, you probably did. Like, people are looking at people like your mom in a bad way, because it's like, oh, they're making money here. They don't spend in the country. They don't doing anything good for their economy. They're just sending money back home. Mm. When you hear a story like yours and see why people are doing that, they give you like a completely different take on their life. It's just like, how can you even think about the economy on your country when it's doing pretty well? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, I don't know. I love like stories like yours, because put everything on a different light, on a different perspective, and people to understand exactly what's going on behind the scene that people don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Get it. By the way, just to add on the comment that you said, like, oh, people are like, oh, why are you sending money back to the Philippines, to your country? Those people are racist. That's what it's called. That's what they're called, you know?
It's not just racism. I think it's a lot of ignorance, because they don't know.
Racists are ignorant people.
True. But not all the ignorants are racist. It's a different category.
Yeah, of course, you know, but most of them are. But with people like that, I don't have time to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, I will have conversation with them, but try to understand why or explain to them, maybe try to enlighten them, but whatever they want to do, they want to do. You know, like, hey, work. I know so many people here that was born here and they so felt like they're so privileged. You know what I mean? Like, I had a coworker one time, he's like, the government should give me more money. And I'm like, why? Because I was born in Canada. I'm like, what? That doesn't even make sense, you know? But like I said, like, people will always say things, you know? People will always say things that, like, again, it's insecurity, you know?
Yeah, but, no, totally. Insecurity, I think, comes a lot of ignorance, because people don't know exactly what's going on. They are based on the headlines and what the other people say. It's just it's a lot of ignorance. That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Because you moved to Canada, and we pretty much, like, you guys have to start from zero pretty much, right? And now, like, we were talking to you, like, you now, you have a house, you have a family and all that thing. So you did really well. Like, from coming from zero, you did really well. Mm-hmm. How did you do it? Like, going through, like, starting going from zero to 100 or whatever you are right now.
to be honest, I'd like to say something inspirational, but really, I just got lucky, man. My main thing was I had an amazing family. That is the main thing. Once I had that support, I felt like I cannot do wrong. And if I do wrong, I can try again. But to answer your question, I just got lucky, dude, to be honest. When I came here, my plan was to go to school, which I did. I went to school, but I was doing school full-time and I was working full-time as well. That's extremely hard. Mm-hmm. I burn out myself. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. I liked school. I always liked school. No. I always loved learning, but I didn't like school. Because, you know, it's a group and some are smarter than others. And I felt like they feed you so much of information that you don't need. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know, cylinder. When are you going to use the cylinder? Like, bro, leave me alone. You know, I want to do something else. Because of that, I couldn't focus pretty much. And I just, one day I was dating my now wife. I said, yo, I'm going back to the Philippines. I'm going to visit just to, like, you know, take a time off. I'm going to stop school. I'm going to continue after. I never did. I came back. I never did. I only had like a year left to graduate, but I never came back. I was like, okay, screw that. I don't want to go back to school. And I felt like I was just bouncing around, doing like random jobs. And then again, luck just struck. I found this work. I was an unloader. You know those semi trucks that pulls containers, shipping containers?
Yep.
I used to like lift them, dude, like whatever inside. We will put whatever is inside. Usually it was a company of speakers. So we'll grab speakers, put it on the pallet and wrap it up and then put away. Yep. That was my job for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. And I'm not bragging, but I knew I'm better than that. I knew it's not a bad job. It's a decent job. But for me, I could do better, you know? And I was thinking of looking for a job, but nothing was happening. And then somehow my boss, quote unquote, promoted me, brought me to the warehouse office. And from there, I worked myself up to work in the main office. And from there, I was just a clerk, you know, just doing invoice and whatnot. Like, you know, it's an easy job, you know, let's not fool around. But I got the job February, and in June, I was a purchasing manager.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, what? It was crazy.
But even just the jump from working as a trader or working like a lifting speaker, going to an office, usually that step, it seems like you made it. Because usually people in the office are usually higher education, and usually people like us, immigrants, they don't work in the office right away. So even, I guess, like even just going to jump into the office, that must be like a big jump into your career. And you know, just feeling of, I not made it. Oh, probably at that point, it felt like you made it, right?
Yeah. But I always stay humble, even though I say I'm humble, which is ironic. But I was like, I never look at the position. I look off the challenge of the position more than anything. So when I was lifting those boxes, which is, by the way, the most fun job I've ever had. First of all, it's physical. Second of all, you're just shooting with your coworkers. There was no stress at all. No stress. Mm-hmm. We walk in, we walk out. That's it. Getting to that purchasing manager position, like I said, I don't know, dude. It was just like ziggy. Like the planets lined up and I got that position. Someone quits. I walked in. Oh, by the way, it's going to be you now. And I'll be like, okay, let's do this. And I love the job. I enjoyed that job a lot.
Because it must have been just luck. It can be even like probably the hard work you put in. It might be your work ethic. That.
Hey, I mean, I'm good looking too, you know? I guess it's a hard work. Like my VP, vice president of the company then was like, yo, you putting all the work, lot of work, and this person, the purchasing manager, was quitting, and she liked me too. She thought I was smart, which is I don't know what made her think that. So they offered me the job. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And I didn't even think what entails with the job. I just like, yeah, I want to do it. That's all I did. It's just like blind ambition, I guess. I don't know. And it's like, yeah, let's do it. And I did it. It was a fun job because it deals with musicians. So I met a lot of musicians. We go to concerts a lot for free, VIP. We go in the backstage, which I don't like, by the way. I never enjoyed going backstage.
Why?
It's not fun because, you know, some bands are good. Some bands are okay. But most of them, especially if they're young, they just want women to talk to. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you one thing just because I want to know, like, if your experience when you moved to Canada was similar to mine when I moved abroad, when I moved to New Zealand. Did you feel like when you're like seeing people in Canada, maybe especially maybe in your perspective, where you see people living a good life, maybe driving nice car, living like a big apartment or big houses and all that things, that seeing people kind of quote unquote made it, did it make you believe that you can do anything? You were able to do whatever you want in life? Then without having the boundary or the thing that you said to yourself, the thing that you can only do and not do?
Yeah. I felt like once I got to Canada, I felt like it's a level position. You know what I mean? I know there are like racism and white privilege and whatever else, the factor. But when that was like the first time, I was like, yeah, I can do things here. I can buy a car. I can work in a fast food company, be a crew, the lowest position, and I could still buy a car. In the Philippines, you could be a bank manager and wouldn't even buy a car at all. You know what I mean? So with that, seeing like people that, you know, have menial jobs and they could actually afford a house maybe, or, you know, maybe have two cars, bro, it's like, yo, I can do whatever I want to do here. You know, if I put myself, you know, again, like, with my quote unquote success, if you want to call it that, I always believe like you put in the work, good things will happen. Not 100%, but most of the time.
Yeah, as you say, there's like it's just a step ladder. You can just grow and grow, and there's no limit to that. Maybe that, back in the Philippines, as you say, even if you get up to the ladder to become like a bank manager, but still not able to live the life that you might want to be, or like a comfortable life. That's the thing. Then when you come to a country like Canada or other country, for me, even from Italy to New Zealand, I felt the same thing. That I can do anything. I can do whatever I put my mind into.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, most definitely. But suddenly has, for me at least, like sense of like possibility, right? Like, oh, there's opportunities here. And if I apply myself in a way, I could achieve that opportunity. Like my story from a guy lifting boxes and wrapping them up to a purchasing manager in a few months, that's not going to happen in the Philippines. Or if it does, the chance is like 0.01, you know. And even if I was a purchasing manager in the Philippines, the chance of me, you know, achieving what I have achieved in Canada, it's very low. It was super low.
And I'd like to ask you, when you left the Philippines and moved to Canada, what did your friends and your circle of friends told you? Like, what did they say about you? Or like, happy for you? What was the situation there?
So most of them are, again, it's the culture, right? Like, it's the way of life. Someone's going to move anytime soon. It could be this guy. It could be this guy. It could be that guy. But most of them, they're happy. Well, I mean, the night off or a few nights, a few weeks or a few months before we got the visa, it was like, we were sad. Mm-hmm. You know, they were sad for me. And it was a funny situation because back then I used to have a camcorder or camera, like a...
Oh, okay.
With the tape, remember the tape?
Okay, yes, back in the days, yes.
So I had that. My mom sent it to me like back then. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to videotape every day. Every day of my life.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I did. Because my thing was like, this will never happen again. This part of my life will never, ever happen again. Even though some of my friends were like, no, you're coming home, this and that, whatever. I'm like, no, I knew it's not going to happen. I'm going to videotape. I videotape almost every day, dude. Like, I could be like eating breakfast or whatever with someone. I'm videotaping it. We go drinking, I videotape it. I still have them, actually. some of them you cannot use because it's too, the video is not so good and the audio is like terrible. But yeah, that's what I did. And going back to your question, it's just, they were happy because, you know, they know I'm going to get opportunities, right? Like the group of friends of mine, let's say we're 20 guys and girls mixed. I'll say about 80% of them is migrants or immigrants.
What do you mean? Like the 80% left Philippines to move
on? Yeah, 80% have left the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
Or working or living abroad, you know. Yeah, it was just the way of life. So it wasn't like a surprise, like, oh, you're moving to a different country? Oh, I'll be sad or whatever. Of course, there's going to be sadness because you know you're going to leave and that's going to be it, right? And you won't see them like before, like literally every day we see each other. Now we're like, we see them like a decade, if you're lucky, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they're like all spread all over the world.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned this time, even last time that we were talking about like Canada, you love Canada. It's a great country, which I have to agree. It's a great country for immigrants, even though there's still some racism. I mean, there's racism everywhere, but still a great country. What would be your top three reasons for the listeners or for other people that you would give to move to Canada?
Top three reasons. Well, the main thing, what you just said, is they're awesome with immigrants. They're so welcoming. You come in and, you know, again, there are racism, there's racist, but you feel welcome here. Most people are kind, you know, they don't bother you at all. Second one is opportunities. Opportunities is just, man, it's there. It's for you to take it, you know. Just work your way up towards that. Again, there's white privilege. There's whatever else that we cannot control. But at least it's an opportunity. I always remember my friend of mine that lives in the States. And unfortunately, he's not open-minded on things. He was always mad at like, oh, you know, I could never achieve the things that I want to do because of white people and I'm Asian. I'm like, you know, because the color of my skin. I'm like, bro, I'm in the same situation. Plus, I'm in Quebec, which we speak French and I don't speak fluent French. And look at me, I'm doing okay. You know what I mean? Like, that should not stop you. Yes, these things exist. I'm not denying, but it should not stop you from pursuing and achieving your goals, whatever that goal is. Of course, there's a main goal. If you don't get it, there are other goals. You know what I mean? So opportunities. Lastly, I don't know, dude, nature, I guess. Man, Canada's gorgeous, man. It's so beautiful. The foliage, you know, the mountains is gorgeous. You know, like BC is gorgeous, you know. Alberta's beautiful. Like different places here, it's something to experience, you know.
Yeah, it's such a massive country. So you can have like there's so much to see. And as I said, like I was surprised when I came here, like how big this country is. It was hard for me to wrap my head around it, like how big this country is.
It is, man. Like, listen, I've been living here in Quebec for, I don't know, close to 2 decades. There are still places I haven't been to. Even like close by. I'm not talking about like the end of Quebec to the other end of Quebec. I'm talking about just like a few towns over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, what is this place? Like, it's so big and it's so beautiful, you know? And obviously, forget about the weather because the weather sucks. But, you know, there's opportunities, you know. I always joke that when the weather's bad here in Quebec and we get dump of snow, I'm talking about like thick, right? And sometimes people will say like, hey, you're from the Philippines, a beautiful country. Why did you move to Quebec? And I'll be like, because I don't want to starve to death. That's why.
That's a pretty good reason.
You know, it's just like my mantra that I say, but in like not in a negative way. It's actually a positive way. But I just like saying that because I have this dark sense of humor, you know.
And also, I think we were talking about this last time. I mean, just for like having reset your perspective, because you said like Canada made you soft, which is something that I hear from other people too. The things that you taking for granted now, because that's normal. I think everybody does the same thing, even though your situation was coming from nothing. But when you got something, you started taking it for granted. You mentioned this last time when we spoke that sometimes you have like this moment that like odd reset of your perspective, like, oh my God, like I'm taking things for granted. When I, you mentioned this story last time about this basketball that was like pretty much like done. And you, as a Canadian now, you saw that as a garbage and you took it back to the Philippines and the kids were like going mental, like were like so happy about like this basketball that you thought was just garbage. Mm. Even that perspective, that's what I go into with this, that you say like, I didn't want to starve. Like why? The weather is not a big deal when the problem in life, it's something else. It's like between bad weather and starvation, like I think like weather every single day of the week.
Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, if we go to the Philippines right now and we offer 100 million people who move to Canada, I can guarantee you maybe a handful of people will say no. I can guarantee you that. You know, because it's really extremely hard. But going back to your to the reference that you said, basketball, yeah, the story is me sending back this basketball, a ball, that it's like finished. I mean, like it's so smooth because we've used it so much and we sent it to the Philippines and people were like so grateful that they have a basketball, which I was considering for myself was like garbage. And like you said, going to your point again, is just, it makes you grateful. Like, holy crap, man, I got it good. And there are times that like that, you know, we're human beings. We get comfortable. We're like, oh my God, my car. Oh my, whatever, you know, oh, hydro or whatever else. Oh, the internet is slow. And then I call to my family or friend back home and be like, yo, I don't even know if we're going to eat tomorrow.
It's absolutely, like I say, it's a hard reset your perspective of being grateful for the things that you have and the things that the things you achieved as well, because it's something that you need to remind yourself that sometimes like when you feel down, like the thing that you did, the things that you achieved, you're coming from the Philippines with nothing and now in your career and your job and your life and family and all of that things, I think that you need to keep like remind to yourself, I think.
Yeah, it's like I think I mentioned to you before, it's like every time I come home and driving down my street and I look at the houses and I'll say to myself, it still surprises me. I don't know why. Again, I'm not the smartest person in the whole wide world, but I'm like, I live here. I have a house here. And it blows my mind all the time. Like, wow, good job, buddy. Good job. Sometimes people will say, like, that house there, your neighbor's house is bigger than, it's bigger, it's nicer, you know? And I'll be like, oh, excuse me. I'm from negative zero back home in the Philippines. I came here, I started negative zero again. And if, you know what? He's my neighbor. He doesn't live in, I don't know, Beverly Hills or whatever else. I'm not putting down other people, obviously, but it's just like, it makes me proud. Like, God damn, I made it, dude. I did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I always put that myself in perspective. Like, dude, I am good. You know, I am good that I don't have to work. Thankfully, God, praise God, the universe and whatever else is like, I'm comfortable, man. I don't need anything else. That little boy that's playing in the field, wondering of moving, I don't know how he's going to move. Thinking of like, oh, someday I'm going to move. I'm going to have a house. I'm going to have two cars. I'm going to have a family. Guess what? He achieved that goal. Whatever else is gravy.
Man, that's amazing. Honestly, that's amazing. Just the fact that you believe from like such a young age that you will make it and here you are.
By the way, I don't know how I did it. I just believe that it's going to happen, that I'm going to move. And somehow, puzzles keeps on falling in the right position. Next thing you know, I was in Canada. And the funny thing was, moving here too, it was we had like some issues. When we were planning to move here, we were old. My siblings, I was above 18 years old. I was 20, like I said, right? And usually you get supported by your parents or whoever's supporting you. You have to be 18 and lower and younger, right? Yeah. I was 20 and I was the youngest in the family. We still made it. I don't know how we made it. We still, the government somehow said like, yeah, come in. Don't worry about it. You know, and when we were applying for the papers too, was we got all the papers done. And in the Philippines, there's so much papers you need. I mean, dude, you have to go to different documents. I'm not going to go in detail, but you need so much silly documents.
Yeah, there's definitely more roadblocks from people coming from the Philippines than somebody coming from the UK or from Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So we got all the documents. We submitted to the Canadian embassy. In a few months, there were bombings in the Philippines. And there was a bombing close to the U.S. embassy. And they closed the U.S. embassy. And all the embassy closed, even the Canadian embassy. When they opened it, our papers were all expired. So we had to redo pretty much all of it.
That's an extra cost.
And then we just continued. Again, credit to my mom sending all the money, because that's not cheap, no, as you know.
Wasn't cheap for me. I tell you that. Like, it wasn't cheap for me.
Yeah, you know. And imagine us coming from a poor country. Yeah. Four people moving. I don't know. Again, I don't know how my mom did it. It's just magic. Not magic, but perseverance. So yeah,
I have to interview your mom on the podcast.
I'll ask her. I don't know if she's okay. Yeah, it's just miracle, dude. Again, I don't know if it's manifestation or whatever it is. It just click click click. It happens. And how we got here is, it was my uncle's wife's brother was living in Quebec, and he supported his sister, which is my uncle's sister. See how rich it is? Mm-hmm. How the possibility for us to come here? And it's happened anyway.
Yeah, because that couldn't happen when your mom was working in Hong Kong, right? Because there's no way you can move your family to Hong Kong.
No way. It's not going to happen. But I knew we're not going to move to Hong Kong. I knew it. But I knew we're going to move somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know how. But it's going to happen. And it just happened.
So when you were a kid, we were thinking of going to move someday we are going to move abroad. Was any country that you were thinking of, or not really?
Being Filipino and Americanized, the first country would be America, right? The first thing. For me, when I envision it, even now, if I try to remember, my memory is there's nothing specific. It's not America or UK or whatever. I always had this feeling that I was born in the wrong country. I don't know why, but I just had that feeling. I love being Filipino. I am proud to be Filipino. I love going back to the Philippines. But I always had that feeling that I don't belong here. This is not where I should be. I always have that westernized mentality that sometimes I talk to people and they'll say why do you think that way? That's completely reverse the way we think, you know? I'm always now, in being individualistic is a cool thing to say, right? Take care of yourself first. Self-care. I always been have a self-care in mind. But people were no, you have to think about the family and the community, because that's the Eastern thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always had that self-care thing. Not that I'm I need to do self-care, but I'm always had this individualistic mindset. So it was a contrast in the community I was growing up in. But I always knew I was going to move. Which country? Your question? Well, there was no specific one. Whatever. Oh, this is how I answer actually this question. I call it the burning room allegory.
Okay.
Imagine you're in a room and the room is on fire. Around the room, there are different doors. Behind those doors, you don't know what's behind them. It could be a lion. It could be, I don't know, a group of people about to shoot you. Or, I don't know, shark that's going to eat you. Mm-hmm. You don't care which door you're going to open or you're going to go through. It's whichever door opens, that's what you're going to go out to, because you don't want to be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the feeling is. And unfortunately, most of the people that lives in the Philippines, and I'm assuming people that lives in poverty, is that it doesn't matter what it is. You open it, we're going there. And I'm being topical now is in Ukraine, people are moving, right? They're trying to seek refugee. They don't care which country, as long as no one's going to shoot them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That was the mentality.
Okay. Now, I thought maybe you had a dream of moving to a specific country, because I heard from a Filipino co-worker in New Zealand, there a lot of people wanted to move to Italy because they're, as you said, they were Catholic, they're Christian, they have this strong religion. And for them to be in Italy and go see the Pope. That was their dream. Like, they want to go to Italy so they can see the Pope. Maybe we had something else, like, I want to go to that country because, I don't know, something, I don't know, specific.
No, not really. But going back to that, I have family in Italy, actually. Mm-hmm. I have an uncle that lives in Italy. And I'm assuming why they say that, I don't think because of the Pope or anything else. I mean, it's,
that's what they told me. I don't know.
But back as a few years ago, Italy was like the option. Mm-hmm. There's always like decades that like this decade is going to be Saudi Arabia. You can migrate to. Or this decade is going to be Hong Kong. This decade is America. This decade is Italy. There's a window in the Philippines in those during years, like for immigrants or overseas Filipino workers, it was the Italy. This is how my uncle got to Italy. I'm guessing just because of that. I don't know about the Pope, bro. I mean, he's cool, but come on.
I don't know. That's, as I said, I refer what other people told me, that like, people are looking at Italy like, oh, I can go there, so I can go see the Pope. That's just, for me, that's not a reason to move to a country. But if you're that religious, I mean, for me, I wanted to move to the United States because Silicon Valley is there. That was my dream. I wanted to go and move to Silicon Valley because there's a tech companies are there. So I can see that in different perspectives. For me, it's not the Pope, but for me, it's tech.
That's
company.
Your religion, Silicon Valley.
I guess so. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And one question then, I think I know the answer, but I'll ask this question to all my guests. Mm. Do you have any regrets about leaving your country, about living in the Philippines?
I would like to say, you know what? I thought about this question before. And I said zero. But then I started thinking more deeper about it. It's not more of regret. To answer your question first, is zero. But again, like we're talking about earlier, is the social impact of people immigrating or migrating because they're hungry saddens me. Because, you know, why are these people have to move just to give better life to their family? It made me, I thank you for this question, by the way. It made me think and ponder about this deeper, that it's sad, you know, like people have to leave. Why? Why do they have to leave? Of course, we know the answer, but, you know, if only people stop being greedy, people wouldn't have to leave the country, right? Because of corruption.
I don't know, for personal experience, I can't really relate with that, but I heard like this to what other guests, like it's the same thing. I don't have any regrets, but I wish I didn't have to do it.
But you, how about you? Did you move because of opportunity work-wise, or did you want to travel?
I just wanted to do something different. I just wanted to experience living abroad. I don't really know what I was expecting. I just didn't want to stay in Italy. I didn't feel safe in my country. Not safe as a safety, like violence, but was mostly like economically safe. Mm. And for me, like I want to build a future. I can see myself building a stable future with this on this unstable ground. That's how I saw Europe at that time. Like this is unstable ground. So I just wanted something else. I wanted to be, I don't know. For me, it was just leaving Italy, leaving Europe and just try something. And I have to say, like, as you pointed out, I'm white. I'm absolutely privileged. I know that. I was living a good life. I didn't have any issue. I could actually live a nice life, comfortable life in Italy. And that's what my friends were telling me. Like, what, Daniel, what are you doing? You have a great job. You have friends and all that things. You're like, why do you have to leave? Like, it's hard to explain. It was hard for me to explain to other people. Like, I don't know. I have to do it. I just want to do it.
It's wanderlust.
I guess so.
But it's like, I like to think about it that, think of like the first ever human being to say, I wonder what's on the other side of that valley or mountain.
Curiosity.
You know what I mean? That's the first immigrant. That human being is the first immigrant. The one that thought like, oh, let's go over there. Maybe there's something better there. Or I want to see what's over there.
I guess it's just a part of our, I don't know, nature.
There's some people that, like me or you, is like, I need to move. I want to move. I, you know. And then there's some people that like, I'm good here. I love it here. Like, I have family members back home. They don't want to move. I'm like, why am I going to move? I have everything here.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Even like going back to the example that you gave earlier about your job, you're lifting things up and lifting these speakers, that you're like, it was fun. And for some people, that lack of responsibility, that's what they are looking for. That's what they want. They don't want to go higher in their career just because they don't want more responsibility. So people are different. Some people want more responsibility and some people don't. And the same thing for like immigration. It's just some people are happy where they are. Some people are not. Some people are chasing something else. They don't even know what they're chasing, but they have to go to. They have to go and see what's out there. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, what's different between people that move abroad and people that don't.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just content of what they are and what they have achieved. That doesn't mean they're, you know, lower or lesser human beings than us or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's just that's what they want. That, you know, they're satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're satisfied, why look for something else, you know?
Exactly. And also, like, I mean, in other circumstances, like yours, some people don't move abroad just because they, like me, they want to see what's out there. For you, just like, I don't want to starve. Like, yes, from your parents, like, I want to give my children like a good future.
Yeah.
Which means in normal circumstances, that means a normal life. A good future for you, for your friend, for your family, for other people that are born in Canada, that means like a normal life. Nothing special, right? Nothing. Yeah. I don't want to give anything away from what your mom, or just absolutely not. Like, it's been great. But just to put things in perspective, what they were looking for other people that are born in the country, is just the norm.
Yeah.
But for you, that's what I love about perspective.
Yeah, me too. That's why I love doing podcasting and just talking to people and just getting perspective from other people. Because, you know, you get into this mindset and you just think of, this is the right thing to say or do. And then someone will say, oh, by the way, and you'll be like, whoa.
Yeah. And you mentioned your podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast called An Immigrant's Life. To conform to immigrants. It's An Immigrant's Life. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell the listeners what do you do? What your podcast is about?
Oh, thank you. It's An Immigrant's Life, a storytelling podcast with immigrants or people that it's not even immigrants, as long as they have relationship with immigration. But really, it's pretty much just me talking to other guests, you know. It's not very not like Daniel's podcast. But Daniel's podcast, you know, amazing and helpful. Mine is just like, hey, let's talk about when one time you got drunk. I don't know. Not random stuff. I do talk about immigration. It's like the core of the podcast, but really it's just like it's a conversational podcast. I love doing it. By the way, thank you for mentioning it. I've been doing it for a while now. And I love doing it. I remember the first time I heard about podcast. It came from my friend, Greg. Shout out to my boy, Greg. And he introduced it to me. He said, yo. I said, what is that? He says, oh, it's a podcast. I'm like, what's a podcast? I'm like, oh, it just, you know, it's like radio, but on the internet. I'm like, and I always remember this like thought in my mind, a voice said like, you can do podcasting. And that this is like way, way back. I don't know, maybe 2017, 2016, something like that. Like before podcast was a podcast. Maybe more, maybe longer. And I don't know why, but I always knew like I'm going to do podcasting. And, you know, fast forward, it took a pandemic for me to start podcasting, you know. But I always say, because I given a thought about that is like, oh, why didn't you start it earlier or whatnot? But I'm like, because I wasn't ready. The technology wasn't ready yet. Like here, I won't be able to talk to you back a few years ago. You know what I mean? Exactly. So it won't be possible. And with our, I guess, audience, as you might say, is you're not going to travel to BC to talk to Danielle. I mean, I love to shoot the shit with you, but you know what I mean? Come on, you know.
That's we can't afford doing that.
Exactly.
It would be awesome to talk like in real life, in person, but we can't afford doing
exactly,
that.
You know. So, yeah. So, technology lined up and I was like, okay, I'm going to start now. I'm going to do it now. And yeah, till now, I still enjoy it. I continue it. I publish an episode every week, every Tuesday. And yeah, I mean, I love meeting people like Danielle. Like, I would have never met you if not for the podcast, you know. And I love when people reach out and say, hey, man, you inspire me. I'm like, yo, relax. Inspire me. Get out of here. Inspire me. Trust me.
It's hard. It's hard to take it in, right? It's hard. Like, I don't know you, but even for me, like, it's even hard to thinking that somebody is actually listening to this.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, yo, listen, if somebody listens, I'm grateful and I want them to listen, obviously, right? But when they reach out and they say, hey, you're doing a great job, or you're inspiring me, I'm like, yo, take it easy, dude. If you are looking up to me, you have issues, because I'm not the person to look up to, you know? Like, look for somewhere else. I love that you're listening, but not, you know what I mean?
I disagree. I disagree with, we said this before, like, you keep saying that you're not smart, that like you're doing things. I completely disagree with you. I think you're really smart. The work you do with the podcast is amazing. You say like you're just doing things, but I think you know what you're doing. And like, people reach out to you because you're inspired. And I believe that. I believe that, like, through the things you do, the people that you bring to your show, you inspire people, you allow people, even though you don't think you do. But I have to say, I listen to your podcast and I think if people reach out to you, that means it's true. And that if they look up to you, it's because you brought value to them. And I can see that. I can see that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I do believe them. It's just, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I get it.
That they're talking to me. I mean, I appreciate that you think I'm smart, but ask me 1 + 1, I'll be like 11. You know,
but it's thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. It's just, I appreciate it. Like the every time somebody reaches out, it's just like, bro, I'm so happy. It makes me so happy. It's like a drug, a good drug. You know, like it makes. And obviously, it's this thing that we do is ebb and flow. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you're like, why am I doing this? What's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get a message like that and like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. This is exactly why. The funny thing is sometimes though, I don't know if you ever get this, it's like they'll reach out to you like you're an immigration specialist.
No, that's not my case. I can figure out if people can get it. I'm not a specialist in immigration.
I don't know why people sometimes think of that. I'm like, yo, help me immigrate. I'm like, bro, I don't even know how I got to Canada, to be honest. I don't know. And then I usually just like send them like, what is that? The government website, like CIG.ca, whatever. That, or obviously through the podcast, I've met people that are working for immigration and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, talk to these people. These guys are the smart people. If I don't know anything about immigration. I know that people move, that's it, you know, for document-wise or like how to fill up things. I don't know. You're the best person, actually, Danielle, because you've done it, actually. Mm-hmm. I pretty much didn't do anything. It was my mom, my sister. I just signed papers.
Yeah, but even then, like, even if you don't, like, I mean, things change constantly. Mm-hmm. It's a job. Like, people like us, if you need to... It's a job. It's a full-time job. So you need, if you want to know what's going on, you need to talk to professionals. Like, if even if I've done it like 6 months ago, by now everything would change, would be different. So it's hard to be like, that's why I don't want to be part of immigration. Like, it's something I hate doing because I have to do it. But immigration is something that I can't stand, the immigration process, because you feel like an outsider. It reminds you that you don't belong. It's just such a wrong process. I wish the immigration process would be different, but it's not. So I hate doing that. I'm glad there's a professional out there that enjoying doing that, because I hate it.
Yeah, it's man. Are you a citizen now?
Not yet. But I'm a permanent resident, which is, being a permanent resident is such a relief, because I was on a work visa for, I mean, I did 5 years in New Zealand. 2 years before, like, I was five, six years on a work visa, and you have to renew every single time.
Oh my God.
Restricted from the work you can do. You don't have the freedom to change the job. You are not the freedom to do whatever. You are restricted with either with a company or with the profession. So if you want to change profession or change job, it's not that easy. So for me, having a permanent residency, I can start a business right now. I can do whatever I want. I can change job tomorrow. I can do two jobs. I can do whatever I want. It's such a freedom of like for like it's a big relief. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Because that's it's funny thing though. It's like what we're talking about, like me growing up is like poverty, right? And then I came to Canada, everything was easy. Mm-hmm. Well, everything, like majority of the time is easy because if I came here, I was PR, permanent resident, automatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if it has changed, but I think it's you have to stay 3 years in Canada
to be,
right? And I passed that. I wasn't even applying for citizenship. I was like, whatever, you know, I don't need it. What's the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I applied finally, and then I was a citizen, and I didn't even like pay attention to it. Like, I remember when I got the paper, like, oh, you're going to be a citizen. You have to go to this place for the, like, you know, when they have like a ceremony.
Yeah, I think neutralization or something like that.
Okay. So anyway, they just like, oh, come to this place. And it's, bro, when it came there, I felt like I was being bugged. I felt like I was being like, I'm wasting my time. That's how privileged I was. I was like, man, just give me the papers and leave me alone. I'm good, you know? And while that was happening inside my mind, my privileged mind, I was looking over and people were crying. Like crying. They were looking at me like, oh, congratulations. You know, like we finally made it. And I'm like, I'm good. You know, I was like, I'm cool. Whatever, man. I didn't even do anything, you know, because I came here PR. Compared to you, it's just like you have to go through these steps every year. Oh my God. I would probably go home in the Philippines.
And another thing, having be a citizen, you got Canadian passport. It makes a huge difference when you travel.
The most powerful document ever.
I have a friend that she's from Peru. And she said like when she travels through the US with a Peruvian passport, the thing, the loops that she has to jump through because she has like a passport. People think she's a drug dealer and all that things. And now she travels with a Canadian passport. It's so much easier. They don't stop her. They go through the custom. Like 2 minutes, it's gone through the custom. Mm. It's so much. It makes a huge difference for a specific country, which might not be the case for me. As I say, reminder, like I'm a privilege, I know. But for other countries, honestly, it can be like a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, it's just like... You know, it's funny though. When I went to visit the Philippines a few years ago, they look at me like... This guy, you're not a citizen. You're Filipino still. And it was funny. Before we came to the airport leave Canada to go to the Philippines for a visit, my sister says, oh, by the way, they're going to separate you. Line right, the line on the right will be like, I don't know, like citizen of whatever country. And then on the other, the left side will be like the Filipino side passport, you know? So I was like, okay, cool. I'm sure, you know. I'm Canadian, so I have special, you know, privilege. Mm-hmm. We go in. Dude, the line was like so long. And then we look over to the Filipino side. There's like nobody there. I'm like, wait. I'm like, no, I'm Filipino now. But yeah, it was just like, they were looking at me like, this guy, you're not Canadian, you're Filipino. Which that's I am actually, Filipino, but I have the document, you know.
But that's actually interesting because I heard this multiple times from guests that when they move back home, people think like, oh, you're not from here. You're from the country you moved to. And the country you moved to, you're not really from their country because you're still an immigrant. You're from another country. So they found themselves like in this limbo there. They seem like they don't belong in either countries. But it seems like you're like, people think you're still Filipino. Oh, you belong to a country.
No, I'm still, I have that, I know that feeling. I'm not saying like I belong there. Like they just look at me like, yeah, you just have this paper, but you're still Filipino kind of.
Oh, okay.
But socially, I call it the Bob Marley effect. Because Bob Marley is half black, half white.
Okay.
And growing up, he used to chill with the black people and the black people like, you're not black, you're white. And then, but he goes to the white side, they're like, you're black. So don't hang out with us. So that's like the immigrant. Like as we grew up in the Philippines, I grew up in the Philippines or you grew up in Italy, you moved to Canada, you came here like, you're not really Canadian, you're Filipino or you're Italian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you go back to Italy, you're like, you're not Italian, you go back to Canada. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
you're like in the limbo. And it was like that. The funny thing was, I didn't know about reverse culture shock back then. and this is real, reverse culture shock. Because I came here, I had culture shock. I went back to the Philippines for a visit. There is reverse culture shock.
Which is worse.
Yes, because you thought you're good. You thought you're home. You thought you're comfortable. And then be like, oh, by the way, no, you're not even Italian or Filipino. You're like, you're Canadian now. And you're like, no. I'm still with you guys. They're like, no. You're somewhere else now. And it was just like, it was a weird feeling. And the feeling was, for me, it was the main thing was, I grew up here. Like, I was these kids that like poor and running around without shoes or flip-flops, you know, dirty and hungry. That's me. That's me. But the way they look at me like, no, you're not us. You're a different person now. And it's such a weird feeling. It's like, no, I am you guys. Like even with my friends, some of the people that stays back home, I felt like there's a distance. Like, I remember this one time I went out with my friends. We went drinking and they were just talking. And then I was like, you know what? In my mind, like, I stepped out of the conversation or the circle. And I was just, you know, looking at them and just studying them. And I was like, man, I came to the realization, like, these people's lives move on without me. And now they don't need me really. Mm-hmm. Because they're okay. And it made me feel like an outsider in a group that I grew up with since we were young. And I have that feeling like, wow, I'm not in this group anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm outside now. But it's fine. It's okay. You know, like, it is what it is. It was nice to see them. But I had that feeling. I had that realization. Have you had that when you visit Italy?
I'm lucky. No, I never felt that way. Maybe because I never had the expectation of things. Because one of the biggest things about the reverse culture shock, the expectation and thing still the same, but they don't. Like you said, it seems like you're going back. People have moved on. They have like a different life. They have different groups. This is not the same as the time that you left. I never had that expectation. And I am super lucky that every time I go back to Italy, all of my friends show up for me. Like, doesn't matter if they have kids or every single time I go back, they show up for me. We always have a party. We always hang out. We go for dinner. They're always there for me. So I'm privileged, super lucky that I still have those friends. I mean, I invest time and energy to keep this friendship and relationship alive. But man, like, I don't take that for granted because I know other people that left Italy and moved abroad and they don't have the same kind of experience when they come back. It's just, I don't know, probably because I invested that much time and every time I go back, I make sure that I invite everybody. I make a big deal when I come back because I don't know.
No, you're right. That's important, that connection. However, I did try to make this connection, but it was like, you know, people have lives or, you know, kids or career or whatever. So the connection is not as strong. And you are absolutely correct. It's like you invest time and you make time to have connection with these people. But with me, like some of them, yes, I still do have the connection. But I'm talking about the people that I didn't have connections with. Those are the people that it just like I felt like I was an outsider. But going back to you said, expectation. No, I didn't have expectation that like things are the same. I knew it's not going to be the same. But for me, it was just like, oh, they're having conversation. They don't need me here. They still have this conversation. They just like, and also they have references that I don't understand anymore because it's like a
cultural thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but again, it was nice to see them after like, I don't know, like 15 years.
Oh, wow, it's a big difference. I mean, I usually go back. I think this time, like through COVID, is the longest one, which is almost 3 years. That's the longest one. That usually I go back every year and a half. So there's a shorter amount of time. And also like with FaceTime and all of that things, we keep in touch and we kind of like, update each other. So we know what's going on with our life. So I feel more part of the conversation, even though another maybe problem, I don't know if this is part of the culture shock, but for me is the fact that I don't feel as connected as before, just because the experience that I lived are different from from them. So the thing I've been through, my experience and my problem, air quote problem, because no, they're not really problem, but they're different from them. They don't get it. So I feel like this connection between my life and theirs. So it's hard to have deep conversation about life because we are completely on a different level.
Yeah, I understand that because I do have conversation with some people that immigrated and they're doing okay. And then the people that still back home, it's kind of hard, you know? Like I'm complaining about, I don't know, my Wi-Fi connection and he's complaining about, you know, if his kids are going to go to school next year because can he afford it? You know what I mean? I completely agree.
I'd like to close this interview and I really have to thank you for the time that you're taking for sharing your amazing story. But before we wrap this up, do you have any advice for the listeners that maybe wants to move abroad or they're thinking of moving abroad?
Yeah, sure. I prepared this because I'm not good at this inspirational or like smart things to say. But so I got three things for future immigrants or people that want to move. The main thing is learn the language of the country to which you are moving to. This is integral because you cannot make a connection. You cannot get a job if you don't understand them or they don't understand you. It's so important. And practice before you move. You got to practice before you move. People will laugh at you. People make fun of you for speaking a different language. Screw them. They're not going to pay your bills. Second will be make connections. Family, friends, organization to the country that you are moving to. Even before you arrive, make connections. Especially now, social media. It's like powerful for these things, right? Because once you arrive, especially like I'm sure you're like your situation, Danielle, we were talking about earlier, like making friends. Holy crap. It's the least thing to talk about that people talk about, but the main thing that kind of like drags you down is not having friends, not having that social credibility. Like no one knows you. No one cares about you when you move to a different country. Because no one understands you, right? Mm-hmm. So try to make, if you have friends or family that are already in that country, make connection. And if not, just meet organizations or people, especially local people, because those are the people that understand the culture more than, you know, other people. Immigrants helps, obviously, because they know, you know, some of them, they know the hoops that you have to go through. But it's good if you have a local friend, you know what I mean? And lastly, I guess this is like a three-parter, but for me, it's one. Be brave, be patient, and enjoy the ride because it's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. I think you like a clear point, like the three main thing about moving abroad. Absolutely. I want to add one thing about finding friends and why making friends is so important when you move abroad. It's because you don't feel at home until you have a circle of people around you, a circle of friends. You can be in the most beautiful place on earth and you won't feel home until you have a circle of friends. So that's why it's so important to making friends when you go abroad. And also the importance to make people locally. And if you make friends with immigrants, there's a good chance they won't stick around as long because people might not be able to stay in the country. Maybe they want to move somewhere else to try something else because when you're an immigrant, there's less, you don't have roots anymore. So you can either be in this country, you can go somewhere else, you come back home. You might lose some of the friends. So it's hard because you already it takes effort to create some relationship, some friendship. And you want those to last. So that's why another important thing about making friends of a local community or for like locally from the same country.
Yeah, I agree with that. Some people do move. They're like, one minute, you're friends, and then, by the way, I'm moving now. Like, what? You're my only friend.
And that goes vice versa. You can be that person that then leaves. And that's...
Oh, I'm not moving. I'm good here.
I'm talking about in general. You do it once, like at least in my experience, when you do it once, you start wondering like, I should probably try something else. Maybe I'm great, happy here. Maybe, who knows, maybe there's something better out there. It's still there, at least for me, that's still in the back of my mind. Like, what if the country maybe is better? It still have like the wonder if there's anything better or something different.
for sure. If you, again, if you're in a good position and you don't have kids or family in that country, you're pretty much like, hey, dude, you know what? Today I'm moving to Iceland or Norway, you know?
Yeah, it goes back to the fact that some people, moving abroad is not for everybody.
No, I completely agree. I remember I met someone here. He was an engineer back in the Philippines. And it's like at least what he told me, that he was a like high-level engineer. He has like people with him that he like, yeah, I guess he's the boss, you know. And he was just a busboy here in Canada. You know, he was just cleaning the tables and whatnot. And I used to talk to him like, yo, you know, because I can tell he's homesick. Mm-hmm. And he told me this story like, oh, I moved here in Canada. I thought life is going to be better. But man, I'm doing this. Back home, I was an engineer. You know, I have like people under me. I'm like, okay, well, you know, guess what? It's Canada. You know, it is what it is. You start zero. That's why you immigrate.
And that's not just Canada. That's
any country. Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You're right. If you immigrate. Like in a few weeks, he went back home to the Philippines because he couldn't handle it. Like, I don't know if it's ego or whatever else. Like, he just, I cannot clean tables. Back home, I'm an engineer and I'm a boss. I want to choose that, you know?
I can totally see that. The reality is there's so many people, doctors or engineers, as you said, they drive taxis or they do like a low income, low pay job just because they're qualification is not recognized in the country they moved to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have to go through the ladder all over again. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have family now. They can't afford to go to school. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Mm. It is. I know. It's incredibly difficult, especially if you have family to feed, you know, it's hard. So be like Daniel. If you want inspiration, go talk to Daniel. He's good. He got things to say to you, you know?
Yeah. Let's close this on a positive note. Yeah. If you need some motivation, like listen to some podcasts like mine or Aaron's, even his podcast, like An Immigrant's Life. Mm-hmm. Just listen to it. It's an amazing podcast. You're going to find other inspiring story of people that moved abroad or they related with immigration. If people want to get in touch with you or relate with your story, where people can find you?
Yeah. I'm on all the social media except for Twitter. I'm not cool enough. It's at An Immigrant's Life. You can listen to the podcast however you listen to the podcast, An Immigrant's Life. Yeah, it's every Tuesday. If you want to come on to be a guest, hey, let me know. We'll talk.
Sweet. And as usual, all the links will be in the show notes for people to reach out to you like more easily.
Thank you.
Sweet. Aaron, I really appreciate your time and sharing your story on my podcast. Really, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it too.
Sweet. Thank you so much. Bye.
Yes, sir. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode and found it inspiring as much as I did. I said it multiple times in my conversation with Aaron about how much I love his story because it shows how things can really change. How even if you come from zero, you can still build a great life for yourself. Not everybody is born in the country they are supposed to be, and not everybody has the same opportunities or privileges. If you feel like you don't belong where you are, I wish you can find a home somewhere else. I really hope this story has inspired you to perhaps find the courage to finally move to your dream country. Or if you're going through some hard time, maybe you can see the circumstances under a different lens. I believe that everybody should know what some immigrants, some people go through just to have a life that most of us take for granted. So if you know someone who needs to hear Aaron's story, please help me spread the voice and share a bit of knowledge. And if you want to share your experience, point of view, or just want to say hi, you can DM me on any social media platform. You can find Immigrants Life on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Immigrants Life, and Facebook at Immigrants Life Podcast. I always love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you in the next one. Ciao.